Hello and welcome to our program. We're in Genesis chapter 6. The land was filled with apostasy. They were rejecting God's way. They were dismissing it, refusing it, actually spurning it, and showing contempt as it being beneath consideration. We don't care about God. That was where they were. That's where most of the world is today. Stay tuned. It was an interesting time that Noah was living in, an age of apostasy, as we said, rejecting God's way was contemptible to most people, beneath consideration. Well, there's a price tag on that. People at that time were very religious. The Bible says in Genesis 4:26, men were calling upon the name of the Lord. And Jesus said in Luke 17:27, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Now they were calling on the name of the Lord. According to Strong's Concordance, that phrase means to profane or to make common the way of the Lord. And Jude talked about that in his little book, where he talked about the common salvation, and that word common has been translated defiled in Mark 7:2, unclean 3 times in Romans 14:14, and an unholy thing in Hebrews 10:29. Now get it straight. Jude did not change his mind about what he was going to write about. He said, I gave all diligence to write about this common, defiled, unclean, unholy salvation plan that was being presented at that time. Paul called it another gospel. Well, we're living there again today, but in Noah's day we read, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He found grace. And the Bible says in Genesis 6:22, he did according to all that God commanded him. Genesis 6:9 says Noah was a just man. Second, he was perfect or upright in his generation. And number 3, he walked with God. Listen to this message in song. I'm pressing on the upward way, praying as I onward bound, planting my feet on higher ground. Make it your prayer as you listen to this message and song.
I'm pressing on the upward way. No heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's table and a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. My faith has fought the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I've found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table and a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
I'm reading in Genesis chapter 7, verse number 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Now, one of the things we see about this story, a very common story, you know, in the ark, but the patience of the Lord. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:20, it talks about the long-suffering of God, who waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. And the Lord waited, it says here. He delayed action in the days of the Lord for 120 years while he is waiting on people to make up their minds. See, we all make up our minds. We choose what we're going to do. God gave us a free will. Well, David, when he was going through his trials back there, he said, "How long, Lord? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemies be exalted over me?" And he's crying out to God because, like me, David has far less patience than the Lord. He's saying, "Why don't you come and take care of this?" Psalm 35:17, he said, "Lord, how long will thou look on? Rescue my soul from their destructions, my darling from the lions." And then in Psalm 74:10 again, he cried, "O God, how long shall the adversary reproach? Shall the enemy blaspheme thy name forever?" And then in Psalm 94:3 again, David said, "Lord, how long shall the wicked, how long shall the wicked triumph?" Well, in this situation, the Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." There's going to be a time when this ends, it says in Genesis 6:3, "For that he also is flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. Another 120 years, God is long-suffering. Let me read that verse again. 1 Peter 3:20 refers to the long-suffering of God while he waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved. Again, in Psalm 86:15, it seems here like David got a better picture of how things were going. He says, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and in truth." Well, finally, we read here in Genesis 7:1, they've reached the end of the line here, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for I have seen thee righteous before me in this generation." The Lord said unto Noah. Here we have a specific message and a personal message from God to Noah. It's very specific. It is clearly defined. It says, "Come thou and all thy house into the ark." That's pretty plain. I think it's interesting that he said, "Come in." The Lord was in there. He didn't say, "Go on in there and I'll shut you in." He's in there. "I'm going to make this trip with you." He said, come in to the ark, for I have seen thee righteous before me in this generation." Now, what's it mean to be righteous? Well, Noah simply was obedient to the revealed will of God. And that's all God expects from us today, to be obedient to his revealed will. And Noah did that in what the Bible calls this generation. Well, that generation, very similar to the one we're living in. And Noah raised his family for the Lord. He was busy preaching righteousness, preaching the way he needed to preach, and busy building a boat while he was doing all of that. Well, for 120 years, the invitation was open. "Come, come," God said. Preach. Noah preached it. And we're living in an age when we read at the end of Revelation 22:17, as God closes out his word, he says, "The Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." Boy, if we had no other verse to destroy Calvinism, that would do it. Jesus said, "Come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Well, the problem is, in Matthew 12:7, Jesus said, "How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." All but eight people in the days of Noah chose to ignore God. That wasn't God's fault. And so he says, "Come." In this age in which we are living today, he says, "Come." And we're running out of this age. It's soon going to be over. And God's invitation at this point is still wide open. Well, when Jesus was here, he said, "I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, but ye would not. Your choice. It's your choice. Well, time was running out for this invitation in Noah's day, and so we read here in Genesis 7 and verse number 4, yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. God said there's 7 days left. I wonder how many days we have left in this age we're living in today. Well, we see choices and consequences once again of all the people. In Genesis 7, verse number 5, we read, Noah did according unto all that the Lord God commanded him. Genesis 7 and 7, and Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him, into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Now, he made a choice. Noah made a choice. His 3 sons made a choice, each one of them. His wife made a choice. The 3 wives of the sons made a choice. They said, Noah, we're with you on this issue because you are standing with the truth. Who are you standing with today? Don't choose sides. Choose truth and stand with those who stand on the word of God. Well, finally, we read in verse 10, it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. And so we read in Genesis 7 and verse number 13, in the selfsame day, entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the 3 wives of his sons with them into the ark. And an amazing verse here, it says in verse 13, and they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. See, he didn't shut anybody out. For 120 years, the invitation was wide open. Everybody made a choice. They shut themselves out. God said, whoever's in this boat, I'm going to shut them in. And so the chapter concludes, verse 22, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life of all that was in the dry land died. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and creeping things, and the fowls of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. Well, Jesus said, when it gets as it was in the days of Noah, I'm going to be coming back. Time's running out. What then?
When the great busy plants of our city shall have turned out their last finished work, when the merchants have sold their last order and dismissed every last weary clerk, when our banks have raked in their last dollar and have paid out their last dividend, when the judge of the earth wants a hearing and he asks for a balance, what then? What then? What then? When he asks for a balance, what then? When the choir has sung its last anthem and the preacher has voiced his last prayer, when the people have heard their last sermon and the sound has died out in the air, when the Bible lies closed on the altar and the pews are all empty of them, when each one stands facing his record and the great book is opened, what then? What then? What then? When the great book is opened, what then? When the actors have played their last drama and the mimic has made his last fun, when the movie has flashed its last picture and the billboard displayed its last run, when the crowd seeking pleasure has vanished, gone out in the darkness again, when the trumpet of angels has sounded and we stand before him, what then? What then? What then? When we stand before him, what then? When the bugle calls, say, and the long marching columns stand still. When the captain repeats his last orders, and they capture the last fort and hill. When the flag has been hauled from the masthead, all the wounded afield have checked in, and the world has rejected its savior, is asked for a reason. What then? What then? What then?